I tell you what, if that doesn't warm your heart, you must be dead inside. Goodness gracious, I am completely uncomfortable this morning, halfway in tears and the other half out of embarrassment. I have never worn tie-dye in my entire life, and somehow they got me into this. I've never felt more like Elvis than I do this morning. But I wore it for a reason. This whole week, our children have seen our leaders in tie-dye, and they've seen the different colors of the rainbow, and they're learning about the creative power of God. And so I wanted to continue with that theme this morning and show my support for our children, for they are so very precious. This week, they have been learning a singular verse we have been focused on, and it is Ephesians 2:10. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." That has been the theme of this week. Our children have been diving into that, but I wonder as adults, do we really appreciate that verse? And I just want to take this time this morning to focus on this one singular verse, and as adults, to learn how important it is and how deep and rich Paul's words are. I want to begin, I'll unpack this, we're just going to walk through it. For when Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship," this means that it is from God and only God that we live, breathe, understand, and are able to believe, because he is the one that made us. The psalmist in Psalm 139:13 reminds us that we are created in God's image. He writes, "For we are formed, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." It is so beautiful to think that the same God that designed this universe, the vastness of this universe, made each and every one of us unique. In that creative power that is so expansive, that continues on and on and on, yet he could look at us as individuals. And he designed us perfectly. He designed us for such a time as this. And then Paul continues on, he says, "created in Christ Jesus for good work." This means at the moment of our salvation, we were made new in Christ Jesus. Paul continues this theme in Titus 3 when he writes, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds for which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." We have been created for good works. We have a purpose. And now that we are saved, our original design has been implanted in us, and we are now reborn. And we should have a zealous, a passionate desire to do whatever is good and accomplish the will of God. If we believe in our salvation and we believe everything that Paul is saying here, then why wouldn't we want to go out and do good works? But that's interesting. What are good works? I think the kids get it. Jesus says we are to have childlike faith. I think as adults, sometimes we overcomplicate this faith. Again, Paul tells us what good works are, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the works of the Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Good works is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not that we have to do all the right things. It's not a checklist like, you know what, I've got to go to church and take care of this, or I've got to tithe, or I've got to go to the soup kitchen. No. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Rather, it's living a life that reflects Jesus Christ upon the world. In a singular word, good works is to walk in love. Over and over again throughout Scripture, there is one dominant theme: love. Love thy neighbor. We're to love one another in a way that the rest of the world will not see. When we go and walk upon this earth, people should look at us. They should see us as different. Not because we're strange, not because things we say or do, but because of the way we love. At our core, we should love this world. Back to our verse, Paul continues on and he says, which God prepared beforehand. God has a plan for not only us, but those who come into contact with. All we have to do is submit ourselves to his will. I think that's important. I think some of you adults need to hear that. Maybe you've been struggling. And maybe you wonder, do I have a purpose? Is there a reason for this life? God designed you, and he made you. And I love when the psalmist writes that we're knitted together. We don't take time to think and ponder on Scripture like we should. Knitted together. Have you ever known a wife, a woman, a grandmother who decided to knit something and just knitted without ever having a plan? Of course not. There's always a plan. There's something that's being fashioned that's going to turn out beautiful. God designed you uniquely. And he has a purpose for you. But here's the point that Paul's making. That purpose was from the very beginning. Way before this universe was formed, millennia before you were ever born, God had a plan for you. You were designed by the Almighty Creator. You are special. You are precious. And children, I want you to remember this all the days of your lives. God, don't make junk. You are precious. You are special, and you have been designed with a purpose. Please don't ever forget that. You are God's masterpiece. So, we have to ask ourselves, if Paul is teaching us this, to absorb all of that, then what are we to do with that? What does that look like to live that out in 2022? Well, Paul gives us the answer at the end of the verse. So we are to walk in them. In other words, we are to walk in good works. This is our application. Well, it centers us on two specific things. Number one, we should have perspective. What I mean by that is we should think about how we view this life. In other words, let me ask you a question. How much of your Christian life is a have to? Oh, yeah, we got to go to church. We have to do this thing there. And then pastor said we have to do this, so we got to go over here and we do that. And our walk of faith is a list of have-tos. There's not much passion, much zeal in that. It's not a list of have-tos. Rather, we should do good works because it is a natural outpouring of the love that we have received, that Jesus Christ loved us so much, that love pours upon us, bursts forth. And it's like if you can picture a coffee cup, somebody pouring coffee into it and the coffee just keeps running over. That's the love we receive from Jesus Christ, that love pours over. And because of that natural outpouring, that we want to go forth and we want to love this world. We should be changed by our salvation. And then the last question that I have for you is, does the world see your good works? We're called to do good works. So does the world see it? Are we living out Galatians 5, 22 and 23? For those that attend Southlake, they've heard this many times before. Christianity is a noun. It's not a title. It's a verb. It's an action. It's something we're to put into motion. We are to live this faith out. And when we live it out, does it reveal Christ to the world? Do our actions demonstrate our faith to the world? In light of Ephesians 2:10, we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe what Paul is teaching us up there? Do we understand the magnitude of this verse? If we do, the world should be changed by our actions. Are we living this faith out? That's what we're called to do. We're called to go and love this world. We're called to go and share the gospel. We're called to go and demonstrate how God has made a difference in our lives and share it with others. Well, this morning, I want to demonstrate that to you in a very unique way. We have Jamina. Are you ready? Okay. So Jamina is here, and Jamina is a prophetic artist. It means that she is being led by the Holy Spirit. And as the kids have been performing and I've been speaking, she has been painting. And now she's going to reveal to us what God has placed upon her heart. Is that not amazing, children? I can't paint it black, let alone do the rest of that. Wow! That is beautiful. Children, if you like that, can you give her a round of applause again? Thank you. Thank you so much. That is so beautiful. I love when individuals find how God has equipped them uniquely, and they use that for the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that Jamina is part of a church, and she took time away from her church family to be with us to paint this gorgeous painting for us this morning. So can we give her a round of applause and thank her for her time? Thank you, Jamina. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to end with a singular verse. And as I come down, our children are going to come forward. And they've got one more song to sing this morning. So they're going to get on stage. And while they're getting on stage, I want to read one last verse to you. It comes from Matthew 5. And these are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "You are the light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The very words of Jesus our go and do good works upon this world. We have been reinforcing that theme throughout this whole week, and guess what? The kids get it. The faith of children is a beautiful thing. So they're going to end this morning with a song that is appropriately titled, Go.